The 33rd chapter, following the golden calf incident and the great prayer of Moses, changing the mind of God in chapter 32, and we come this morning to the 33rd chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up hence, you and all the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I personally will not go up among you, lest I consume you in the way with my presence, for you are a stiff-necked people." Now, of course, God calls them a stiff-necked people very often in the Old Testament. The picture is of an animal with a yoke round its neck, a wooden yoke, but an animal that will not respond to the pulling of the reins. Its neck is stiff, and it doesn't want to do what the owner wants to do. And that makes the animal a stiff-necked beast. And that's what God calls his people repeatedly throughout the Bible. Lest I consume you in the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now, put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what to do with you." Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb, which is another name for Sinai, from Mount Horeb onward. Now, Moses used to take the tent. Now, this is a different tent from the tabernacle. It's a smaller tent. Moses used to take this smaller tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting, not the tabernacle. It's a different place. He called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to this tent, all the people rose up, and every man stood at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into this smaller tent. And when Moses entered this tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the door of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, every man at his own tent door. And thus the Lord used to speak to Moses, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "See, thou sayest to me, bring up this people, but thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And yet thou hast said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show me now thy ways, that I may know thee and find favor in thy sight. Consider too that this nation is thy people. They're not my responsibility. This nation is thy people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses said to him, if thy presence will not go with me, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not in thy going with us, so that we are distinct, I and thy people, from all other people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. Earlier on in verse 11 it was, show me thy ways. Now in verse 18 it is, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness come before you, and will proclaim before you Jehovah, and I will be gracious, to whom I will be gracious. Of mansions in the skies will not enter in. There's always a grief at the church's heart. Grief for the state of the world. Grief for wasted lives without God and without sadness for the folly. Grief for the spent endlessly chasing pleasure. And so, however joyous we certainly ought to be, a joyous community, we are as men and women who have entered into that true destiny. The time for total joy. Is not yet. We ought to see how stiff-necked we are. And how stiff-necked we are. And like Israel, we ought to see from Horeb onward, and like the Puritans, we ought to go into mourning. Wonder if you remember the story in 2 Kings of the siege of Samaria in the Old Testament. Seeking their own children, and still the Syrian army sat round the walls of Samaria. One day the king of Samaria got up and left. And as the people looked up at the king, royal robes, wearing sackcloth, the color, the royalty. There was a man in mourning for the tragedy of his city. That's a parable for the church. Christian. And
The people of Israel stripped themselves of their armaments from Horeb onward. Of the consecration, you all have noticed that we now have been through the wilderness. On the one hand, there is the large tent whose worship and structure we've been studying on Sunday mornings. That was a big place. Has been a scene of much activity. The Levites and the priests carrying about their duties, the people coming and going with beasts, things being laid on the altar, a busy, busy, busy place. A large, busy place attended by the hoi polloi and anyone who wanted to join in the worship of Israel. But alongside that tent, and far away from it, was a small tent called the Tent of Meeting. And it was outside the camp. And far from being a busy, busy, busy place, it was rather a quiet place, because it was in Joshua. No Aaron, no priest, no Levite. And on top of that simple tent, the glory of God came down, as one commentator says, like the sun. And it was God's way of saying, more pleasure in that smaller affair and what went on there than he did in the larger tent. Here's how Exodus puts it in verse 7. Everyone who sought the Lord go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the tent. A special place for special people who wanted to seek the Lord. Exodus chapter 33 speaks about God communing with Moses face to face there, as a man speaks with his friend. But actually, later on in the book of Numbers, in the 12th chapter, it speaks it even more intimately. It says that God communes with Moses mouth to mouth, face to face, mouth to mouth. That was where you went if you really wanted to be a consecrated Jew. Outside the camp, away from the crowd. Sort of place. And many Christian scholars believe that that is the true understanding of the last invitation in the letter to the Hebrews. Let us therefore now go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. This may not sound very spiritual, but I have always believed that Christian consecration involves, for want of a better word, inconvenience. I find that Christians who want to be just Christians rather than consecrated Christians are where they are today because they are not prepared to have their lives inconvenienced
by Christ.
If you want
to seek the Lord, then you leave the big tent and go into the desert outside the camp to the little tent. And of course, that involves inconvenience.
I believe
that consecrated Christians are people who can be bothered to go the second mile for Christ's sake.
They are bothered enough
to give up their leisure time, their evenings, their energies, their gifts for the Lord's word. Multitudes throng the big tent, just as multitudes can throng churches.
But those who want the will of God
very often have to turn their backs on the crowds,
the big religion,
and very often turn their backs on their families and go into the desert to the little place where the will of God was revealed. You may recall that in the book of Revelation, John sees the multitudes of believers following the Lamb.
Alongside them,
he sees a smaller group
who follow the Lamb
wherever he goes.
Now, two groups.
One group follows the Lamb, and the other follows the Lamb wherever he goes.
Now, which group would you put yourself in this morning? Are you with the Lamb? Or are you with the Lamb wherever he goes?
Are you with the crowds, the big affair, the big tent? Or are you interested in going outside the camp, bearing Christ's reproach, to find the will of God for your life? Lastly, there is this concern with the presence of God in verse 14. Perhaps you may have read Murray McChain's great sermon on this text. God said, "But my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses said, "All right, but if your presence go not with us, carry us not up from here." You see, the incident of the golden calf had raised a problem in the mind of Moses. Moses had learned that God does answer prayer, that prayer changes the mind of God, and that if man will pray, God will repent of the evil. He relents in answer to prayer. But the problem for Moses is this: does he do that from a distance? Is God a purveyor of blessings 10 million light years away? Is there no nearness of God? If your presence go not with us, carry us up not from here. Now, of course, you realize that in those days, people had a very superstitious view of God. They thought that he was confined to one place. The gods of Egypt operated only in Egypt, and the gods of Palestine operated only in Palestine, and the gods of Greece operated only in Greece. And outside the little bit of territory, the gods were powerless. And the Jews sometimes thought like that. We take it for granted that God is everywhere, because the omnipresence of God is something that lies deep at the heart of Christian teaching. Wherever we are, God is. If you go to the moon, he's there. If you go to the bottom of the sea, as Jonah did, he's there. If you go to hell, he's there. Psalm 139 is a psalm about the omnipresence of God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where can I go, God, to be where you are not? And the answer, of course, is nowhere. All of that came late. The fear in Moses' mind was that if God's people moved on into the future, into God's will, into the land, somehow God would be left behind. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, the Jews sang in Babylon, thinking that God wasn't in Babylon, he was away back in Palestine. So how could they sing his song in a strange land when he wasn't there, they thought. God said, don't be afraid, Moses. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses said, all right, for if your presence does not go with us, carry us not up from here. In other words, if you are not with us, God, we want to stay right where we are. It's your presence that's the big thing. And if that isn't there, then we don't want to move on. Don't you think that would be a good motto for our fellowship in these days? If you aren't with us, we don't want to move on. Let me be personal and parochial. In 8 years' time, we celebrate the 150th anniversary of the founding of this church. It was consecrated in 1840. So that means that we'll have to do something significant in the year 1990, 8 years' time, if we're all spared. I've often thought it would be nice to do something major to celebrate that. Well, not so much to celebrate 150 years of the past. That could be a bore. But to prepare for the next 150 years, that could be exciting. Looking forward. You know that we have to spend around £50,000 on the re-slating of the roof. And what will we find when we take the slates off? Who knows? Beasties and all sorts of things. And then this ceiling somehow will have to be pinned up, beginning to come away. It's perfectly safe, but it's beginning to come away from the lath. And we must plan. That's what the board does. Plan all the time. But my friends, if God is not with us, all of that could be a carnal exercise. And it could be done in a carnal spirit, just to keep the club going, or to keep the old place standing, for sentiment's sake. You'll have noticed that Moses asked God to show him two things, very daring. In verse 13, show me thy ways. And in verse 18, show me thy glory. A hunger for God's ways and a desire for God's glory. These were the things that mattered to Moses. And if they matter to us as much as they mattered to him, as we move forward towards 1990 and perhaps beyond, if we're all spared, God will be with us in a sense. Absolutely nothing else matters. Amen. May the Lord bless the preaching of His word. To His name be honor and praise. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led, hymn number 562.